Okay, so welcome to the second Shir on Maseches Sukkah. It's actually great to see that, you know, the Olam is here and you're learning. It seems like it's really working, at least 2 weeks in. It's really working. We need to go for a Chazakah, full-fledged Chazakah, 3 times. So that's what next week is for, Mirza Hashem. Last week, we began with the first Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that a number of halachos. We explained that the Mishnah is talking about halachos and how to construct a sukkah. And the first of those dinim is a sukkah above 20 amos is no good. And the Mishnah also had a comment that a sukkah that has more sun than shade is not a valid sukkah. And last time we decided to move in the direction of discussing the sukkah with more sun than shade. And this interesting comment of Rashi, that the reason why the sukkah is going to be puzzle when there's more sun than shade is because of some degree of bittul, that somehow something is nullified. And we looked at the comment of the Ran, and the Ran said that it's not possible that the actual schach is nullified, but rather what's being nullified is the shade at the bottom of the sukkah. The shade is nullified, and the Ran understood, like Rashi says on Daf Chaf Beis, that when I talk about sun versus shade in the sukkah, I judge it from the bottom, not from the top. The Rabbeinu Tam, of course, never likes anything his grandfather said. Yontif meals must have been a lot of fun. But the Rabbeinu Tam basically says, no, it don't work like that. Basically, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, when I judge the majority of shade versus sunlight, I look at what's on the top, not what's on the bottom. And therefore, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, effectively, I could have something that is very sunny at the bottom, but halachically, it could still be kosher because up on top, it was equal shade to sun. Rabbeinu Tam develops the idea based on the Gemara's in Erevin that Paretz Ka'omed is kosher. If you have an equal amount of schach and airspace between them, it's kosher. For the Rabbeinu Tam, that means that I'm looking at the area up on top, not at the area down below. As a matter of halacha, there's an interesting Aruch HaShulchan who writes that when I judge Rav Shechter every year, right after Yom Kippur, Rav Shechter gives a shiur in the Beis Medrash about the halachas of how to build a sukkah, because you're supposed to build a sukkah Matzai Yom Kippur, so he always gives the shiur. And Rav Shechter, I think he said this like every year that I remember. I missed the shiur 1 year. My son Yosef Dov was born on Yom Kippur, so I didn't go to the shiur Matzai Yom Kippur. I have to admit, like, what can I do? These are big affairs that one does in life. But Rav Shechter always says over that the Aruch HaShulchan says that we judge the sun versus the shade based on the top of the sukkah, and really, as a matter of halacha, the poskim follow Rashi, not the Rabbeinu Tam, and we should judge based on the bottom, not on the top. Again, we'll have many more conversations about this in the future, but I'd like to begin learning the Gemara now. So let's get back to Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, Chevra? Tnan Hasam. Our Mishnah says that a sukkah above 20 amos is no good. The Mishnah at the beginning of Erevin says, "Tnan hasam a mavoi shehu gavoa me esrim ama yima'et." The Mishnah Erevin says a mavoi that is over 20 amos should be yima'et. You should lower it, etc. Now, there's a little bit of lack of parallelism in the language. In our Mishnah, it says Mavoisha Gavo. Our Mishnah says Sukkah that's Gavoa Lamaila Me Esrim Ama, whereas by Mavoi it says Gavoa Me Esrim Ama. So it's not clear why we distinguish, and the Rishonim, the Ritva, primarily already noted this distinction. But on the side of my Gemara, they doctor it all up and they say that the word Lamaila should appear by Mavoi also, and there isn't much to talk about. As a matter of halacha, the Gemara in Erevin has a discussion whether halal sukkah tznan, halal mavoi tznan. Basically, we assume that 20 amos is the measurement of the airspace, which would mean that it's only a problem if it's above 20 amos. If it's at that 20 line, it's going to be okay, fine. And it's the same by sukkah and mavoi. the girsa of the way that we have the text notwithstanding. Okay, so ladies, what is a mavoi? Hi, Hannah.
It's an alley off which there are a number of courtyards. And even though it's not diureta rosh hasharabim, derabanan it's a rosh hasharabim, and therefore you have to put up some kind of heker to let everybody know that when they move from their rosh hasayachid courtyard into the mavoi, they're coming into rosh hasayachid and they can't carry. So you have to put some kind of like beam to let people know, and that beam can't be higher than esramam.
Excellent. That was really a very good summary. So the basic idea of a mavoi, I never understood this until I spent a summer in Eastern Europe, probably 30 years ago, in Kishinev. And the way the cities are built is that you have a bunch of little homes, and they open up into our courtyard, and the courtyard opens into like a small little street. And the small street opens into the big street. And, of course, it was very difficult just to get any mail because, like, whatever. But that's a different story. The fact is, that's what a mavoi is. The Gemara tells me that a mavoi has to have chatzeros open into it. A chatzer has to have batim open into it, right? A chatzer is you have a courtyard, and there are at least a minimum of two homes that open into the chatzer.
Yeah.
And the chatzer, right, opens into the mavoi, but you need at least two chatzeros that open into a mavoi. For our purposes, many poskim assume our apartment buildings are actually a good way of, 475. That's about 475. So most apartment buildings, you have apartments. The apartments are batim. Those are homes. Mm-hmm. The homes open into a hallway. Right? So the hallway would be a chatzer.
Oh.
The chatzer opens up into a stairwell which goes down to the lobby. All the chatzeros open into a lobby which would be a mavoi.
Huh.
If I take a formalistic approach to bayis chatzer mavoi, so in our apartment buildings we have it all the time. This actually is very relevant in Hilchos Chanukah, where we paskin that you are supposed to let your neiros Chanukah by the Pesach Hechotzer. Now, what that would mean in our apartment buildings is I light my Chanukah candles in my hallway next to the stairwell.
That sounds really dangerous.
Besides really dangerous, no one does it. Yes, it's dangerous. No one does it. Like, it's not really done. So, as a matter of halacha, the Ramah in one place writes, in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Chavav, in Hilchos Erevin, the Ramah writes that we no longer do the mavoi thing. Hannah explained that a mavoi is rectified with a korah. You can rectify it with a beam. A beam is a horizontal. Alternatively, you could do a vertical lechi that you put up to rectify the mavoi. We don't do that anymore, the Rama writes. We do Tzuras HaPesach. No one knows exactly why we don't do that. Well, some people know. But we don't do Korah and Lechi anymore. Some Mefarshim say because a mavoi technically was an area that people did semi-private activities in. The Rishus HaRabim, no one does anything private in. That's not done. In a Rishus HaYachid, in your home, you'll do anything private. Then we have like semi-private areas, Chatzer and Mavoi. A Chatzer is a semi-private area. The Gemara actually speaks about how women would do laundry in the Chatzer and they would be in a less of a state of tznius than they would usually be. Because they're doing laundry. They have to roll up their sleeves, whatever it is. It comes up in Hilchos Kisui HaRosh as well, in terms of covering hair. Everything connects. Huh? It's amazing. Right? So covering hair also, there's a difference between if I'm in Rishus HaRabim, oh, then you for sure got to cover your hair. What about if I'm at home? Does home mean a private area? Or is home a private area and no one's around? Like, how do you look at all these sugyos? Not so simple, but basically as a matter of halacha, there's private space, semi-private space, less private space, and fully public space. That's Bayis Chatzir Mavli and Rishos HaRabim. And it's relevant for Kisui HaRosh, it's relevant for Neros Chanukah, it's relevant for a number of things. One of my friends told me when he was on a trip in Europe, so they saw some of the old ghettos, and some of the old ghettos, actually, they have like an indentation built into the ghetto wall, which is where the korah was put. You could see that's where the beam was.
That's so cool.
And that beam was there to basically mark this area off. Because my mavoi borders into the Rishus HaRabim, I need a heker. That was the word that you used. I need a heker to mark the area off so that you should not think that this is a Rishus HaRabim. Since a lot of people use it, it might appear like a Rishus HaRabim. That's why you have the beam. That's why you mark it off. That is the halacha of a korah. Okay, so now, our Mishnah says a sukkah over 20 amos.
So just to go back to what we were talking about, can you carry in a mavoi if it's not exactly...
Got to give me 45 seconds and we'll talk about that.
Amazing.
We're going to talk about that.
Cool.
So now sukkah that's over 20 amos is no good. Mavoi that's over 20 amos, it says that you're mima'et. It says that you lower it. And the Gemara is going to ask, how come we don't use the same term in both places? We'll discuss that in a minute. But Anna, right? That's
yes.
Your name?
Mm-hmm.
But Anna is raising a question. She says, okay, so just tell me, like, what's the halacha of a mavoi, of carrying in this area? So it goes like this. The Gemara in Erevin on Daf Chaf Aleph tells me that Shlomo HaMelech was very smart. And Shlomo HaMelech, part of his brilliance was he put together the concept of Eruvei Chatzeros. This is the brilliance of Shlomo HaMelech. Right, basically, at Midah Eraisa, I'm not allowed to carry from a Rishus HaYachid into a Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachid, or I'm not allowed to carry four Amos into a Rishus HaRabim. Right? Min HaTaira, I can't carry. Do we have any Rishus HaRabim Min HaTaira anymore? I don't know. In our world, it's hard to find. I'll tell you. I used to be the rabbi here in the Heights, and I never wanted to extend the Erev south of 179th because I'm worried about the George Washington Bridge entrance. I think the bridge is a Rishus HaRabim Min HaTaira. So the Erev always ended right at where Pinehurst and 179th connect. So then we would use some walls around. It never went south of 179th. Okay. So you can't carry from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Can't carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Then we have other areas in Halacha, which are semi-public domains. Those are called a karmelis. A karmelis is an area that min ha-Torah is a Rishus HaYachid, but it has some of the elements of a public area, so therefore you're not allowed to carry in the karmelis as well. You can't carry four amos in the karmelis. Mavoi, in some ways, and chatzer, are both these complicated areas, which is min ha-Torah, it's a rishus hayachid. Min ha-Torah, by the way, to be a rishus hayachid, all you need is three mechitzos, no? This is a rishus hayachid min ha-Torah. Right, 1, 2, 3. You have three mechitzos.
Is that why sukkah has to be that many sides?
We'll talk about sukkah later. Everything, we'll get to stuff. It might take us 25 years, but we'll get there. The point is that I have a mavoi, right, or a chatzer. Min ha-Torah to Rishus HaYachid. That means if I pitch a ball from the top of the George Washington Bridge into this chatzer, I just violated carrying on Shabbos. I can be stoned for that. Do not try it. Right? That's the basic idea. So it's a Rishus HaYachid Min HaTorah. Three walls is enough to be Rishus HaYachid. Nonetheless, because the area is somewhat private and somewhat public, we insist that in order to be able to carry, you need a korah. You need that beam, which ki'ilu makes a fourth wall. Halachically, it's not a wall. Halachically, korah is heker. It's just a line of demarcation between the public area and this area. But nonetheless, it marks that this area is separate than everything else. So Rashi writes, and let's read this Rashi together, because there's a lot in this Rashi, and I want to just pick up on one thing. Mavui shegavoa, zokt Rashi, mavui shehu satum yishalosh tzadim, you have a mavui that is closed on three sides, virosho patuach l'shut harabim, and one end is open to the Rishus Harabim, v'chatziras psuchos lo, and there are courtyards that open to the mavui, v'yotzos ubaos Rishus Harabim, and people use the mavui to get to the Rishus Harabim. Again, so people use, let's say, the people use the entranceway of the building to go out into the street. That's the idea. So harehu rishus hayachid l'bnei chatzeros. This area is a private area for the members of the chatzer. Still, asru chachomim lahotim rishuso l'rishus chavero below eruv. Shachatzeros ko achas rishus la'atmo. V'hamavoy rishus l'kulan. V'hitzrichu bo shitov l'hishtatev kol achatzeros b'pat o b'yayin. Ulaniach hashitov b'achas min achatzeros. Okay, I just read a lot. Basically, the story is like this. I'm not allowed to carry from a public area to a private area. I can't carry from my private area to your private area. I can't carry from my house to your house. The chatzer is a private area in the sense of only members of this courtyard use it. But I can't carry from the chatzer to the mavoi, because the mavui is more public than the chatzer, because other courtyards have access to this mavui as well. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm not allowed to carry from the chatzer into the mavui unless I do something called shituf mavuot. Shitufei mavuos. Let's go slowly. When I build an eruv in a community, I lie to you when I say I build an Eruv. What I really do is I build mechitzos around town. They build a Teresa Pesach. There is such a thing as an Eruv. The Eruv is a box of matzah that everyone owns. That's the Eruv. Right? The wires are much more expensive than the box of matzah. The box of matzah is the Eruv that I used to oversee. The Mount Sinai Eruv has the box of matzah under the podium where the rabbi speaks from. There's a box of matzah. That is the possession of the entire community. If you're ever hungry, right, go eat it. Okay, whatever. I try to keep in a Ziploc bag so it doesn't go completely stale, but that's the box of matzah. For a chatzer, you need a box of matzah. Eruvei chatzeros you can only do with pas. Shitufei mevuos, however, shitufei mevuos is the same as eruvei chatzeros. Let's go. A chatzer means I have this courtyard that homes open up into it. So what I have to do is I have to seal it off, build like a fourth wall, halachically a fourth wall, and I also need a box of matzah or bread that shows that everybody is living in the same area. That is a Eruvei Chatzeros. Shitufei Mevuos is the same idea. You have to close off that fourth side somehow. But instead of having bread, now you could even have a big kula in Judaism, you could even use wine. You don't need bread. That's the halach of Shitufei Mevuos. So basically, Rashi comments that what you have to do is leave the shita from one of the Chatzeros, and because there's no Mechitza Revi'is, therefore, you need a heker, and that is the lechi or the korah. And if the korah is over 20 amos, you have to be mema'ed it. That's the whole Rashi. Okay. What part of this Rashi is completely extraneous, unnecessary, and irrelevant for our conversation? Dun, dun, dun.
The wine and matzah components.
Again?
The wine and matzah component.
The wine and matzah component. It has no shaykhs to anything, no? The halacha that I'm talking about is a sukkah over 20, no good. A mavui over 20, lower it. Okay, so I got it. 20. Good. Gezeir shava. But like, why do I need anything? Why does Rashi have to throw in the information about the wine, the bread? It's unnecessary. For some reason, Rashi feels it's necessary to throw it in. Now, as a matter of halacha, these two components are very different, no? You see, if I have a mavui that does not have anything on the fourth wall, so midrabbanan, I treat that area like it's a rishus harabim, and I'm not allowed to carry. But if I have a mavui that has a korah on the fourth wall, but I don't have my barrel of wine, so I'm also not allowed to carry, but it's a different sort of isser of not carrying. Rav Soloveitchik in his shiurim commented that in halacha we give certain leniencies when there are fires. And one of the leniencies we give in halacha when there's a fire is you're allowed to carry from a rishus hayachid, right, to save, let's say, kisvei hakodesh, no? There's a fire, chas v'sham. You're going to take the Sefer Torah out, you're going to save it. But you can't carry to an area that's not mukaf mechitos. You can only carry that Sefer Torah to an area that's enclosed. You are allowed to carry the Sefer Torah, the Rambam writes, to an area that is a mavoi with a korah, even though you don't have your barrel of wine. But you cannot carry the Sefer Torah to an area that does not have the korah. The area without the korah is the halachic equivalent of full-fledged carrying. So these two dinim are different. It's not like, right, Rashi isn't just giving us extra information. I don't know exactly why Rashi decides to throw in this halacha. I forgot your name. You?
Rachel.
Rachel what?
Sklar.
Okay, hi. Nice to meet you. So Rachel points out that's extra. How come Rashi has to throw that in? I'm not exactly sure, but I can make a suggestion that actually the Miri Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Elyahu Baruch Finkel, has this suggestion in his Sefer. And it's based on the comment of the Ritva. Let's take a step back. The Gemara has a question. Our Mishnah says that a sukkah over 20 is possible. The Mishnah at the beginning of Erevin says a mavoi over 20 should be mima'et. You should lower it. And, obviously, like your ninth grade composition teacher told you, you should use parallel structure, use the same word in both places. Right? So which one is it? Should I use the word pasul in both places? Say that the mavoi is pasul? Or are we asking that by the sukkah I should say mima'et? Or are we asking both?
If there are two factors that would make the mavoi possible, then if you need both the ayin...
Okay, so you're beginning to... The wheels are turning, right? But let's go a step further. The Ritva writes that the word pasul is shayach to speak about by a sukkah. A sukkah over 20 amos isn't a kosher sukkah. So I could say it's pasul. That means you can't eat there. But a mavoi, you can't really be pasul. A mavoi isn't a chafetz shel mitzvah. A mavoi is, you want to carry, do this. You don't want to carry, don't do this. The word pasul isn't a relevant term by the mavoi. So therefore the Ritva entertains the idea that maybe the only question that we're asking is that by sukkah I should say mima'et, because by mavui I can't say pasul, because pasul isn't shayach. What do you mean pasul isn't shayach? Pasul isn't shayach in the sense of don't fix it, big whoop, who cares? That's his comment. That's the Ritva's comment. So, Reb Elia Baruch Finkel suggests that maybe, and I'm going to try to go through this with you, maybe you'll help me understand it better than I understand it. Maybe the reason why Rashi has to add the dimension of the barrel of wine or the box of matzah is because in that situation what I have is a mavui that is pasul. In other words, pasul means it's lacking a certain halachic requirement. If the mavui is lacking a korah, so it's not pasul, don't fix it, who cares? But when you have a mavui with a korah, and just you don't have the barrel of wine, so you could say, you know what, this is pasul. It's pasul in the sense of it's not a kosher mavui. It's lacking a certain hechsher that will allow you to carry in it. It still is an okay mavui in that, like, you know, if there's a fire, you could carry the Sefer Torah there. But it's not a kosher mavui that will enable me to carry on the regular Shabbos. So the suggestion that he makes is that maybe Rashi goes out of his way to teach us this extra halacha in order to try to answer what this word pasul or how this word pasul could be relevant to mavui. I don't find it completely satisfactory, but I find it creative. And I like creative stuff.
Wouldn't the korah be the hechsher for the mavui?
So the korah is the hechsher for the mavui in that the korah enables you to have a barrel of wine which will allow you to carry.
Right.
If I just have the korah and I don't have that barrel of wine, I can't carry there.
Except for an extenuating circumstance.
Nachon.
But if the roles were reversed and you had the barrel of wine without the korah,
nothing.
You
it's garnished.
So isn't the korah is like the deciding factor of whether there's any situation.
So the korah is... I mean, they're both necessary. I don't know which is the decide. I need both a korah and a barrel of wine. We're only talking about korah here. How come Rashi decides to throw in barrel of the wine? That's our question. I don't know exactly, but maybe by having the barrel of wine, it makes the word pasul easier to swallow. Sounds good? Weiter. By the way, those of you who have been in my shir in the past know that one of my goals is to teach you Yiddish. So if by the end of learning together you will not know at least 10 new Yiddish words, I have failed. Okay, weiter. What does weiter mean?
Like later, continue.
Let's go further. Excellent. Gewaldig. Okay, so the Mishnah says, in Erev and Nedar Mavui over 20 Amos, you should be Mema'et. Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino Tzorech. Correctly, Gemara, Maishna Gabi Sukkot Tani Psula, Umaishna Gabi Mavoi Tani Takanta. How come by Sukkot we say that it's puzzle? And how come by Mavoi we say the way you fix it? So the Gemara says, Sukkot is Dairai, so we say it's puzzle. Mavoi is Rabban, you say Takana. Second suggestion is, by Dairai, so you could also say Takana, but Sukkot has, a lot of laws, so therefore we don't want to get involved in all of them. We just say it's puzzle. Mavui that has very few laws, we could just say how you fix it. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, beautiful Gemara. Now, the Gemara has a question. How come we have the word pasul in one place by Sukkah? And how come I have the word yima'et by mavui? How come I have a different word? The first answer in the Gemara is that since sukkah is d'oiraisa, I say pasol, but mavui, which is d'rabbanon, I don't. Who wants to explain this to me? And there are two possibilities how to explain this line, Rashi and Tosfos. What does it mean? Sukkah is d'oraisa, I say pasul. Mavui is d'rabbanan, I say takana. How does Rashi learn this and how does Tosfos learn? So let's read the Rashi together. Okay, Chevra? Suka da'iraisa. Suka mida oraisa. De esrim amadila yalfina mida oraisa. There's a din da'iraisa for the 20 amas of a sukkah. That's what Rashi writes. Vikodem shenishne tamishna ne'emra shi'ura misinai. The shear of 20 amos is halacha l'mayshim Sinai, and it existed before the Mishnah. So therefore, tani psula shayach l'misna ba lashon pasol. Kelomar lo naset ketorah ukehalacha. In other words, what Rashi is saying is that you can't use the word pasol on a din derabbanan. Pasol means I have a pre-existing problem. If it's a din d'oraisa, so even before the Mishnah was written, the halacha existed. So I could say it's pasul. I could say a sukkah over 20 amos is pasul. Don't tell me that you're first teaching me the halacha of 20 amos over here. No, we always knew that din. Halacha l'mayshim Sinai. Right? Everyone knew it. It's a d'oraisa. Right? If you didn't know it, you should have known it. It's a d'oraisa. So therefore I could say pasul. But mavoi, which is entirely in ganzen midrabanan, so I cannot say the word pasul about a mavoi. Rashi writes, "Tani takanta dilo shayich lemisne b'lashon pasul deman pasul kodim shenishnis mishnezu." The Mishnah in Erev and Daf Beis introduces me to the halacha of a mavoi for the first time. You knew nothing about mavoi until you learned Erev and Daf Beis. You learned nothing. You knew nothing about the Kaira not being over 20 amos. Therefore, you can't say it's pasul, because pasul means I am going back to a previously known halacha. On a d'oraisa, I can say pasul. On a drabanan, I can't say pasul. That is the way Rashi understands the first Lashon in the Gemara. Good? What does Tosfos say? Hi.
Okay.
Well, just remind me your name.
Shoshana.
Shoshana, got it.
His first answer is why we don't use the word Yuma'id. So he says that Yuma'id is the ideal word to use even for the Midaraita, but we're more strict in the Midaraita, for Midaraita. And we're worried if we use the Ma'i, that people might make a mistake and say that's Lachatkila, but
yeah, right. That last sentence is the most important sentence, I think, that you said, that we're worried you might make a mistake. By Sukkah, it's a din d'oraisa. The stakes are pretty high. If you get it wrong, so then people won't end up sitting in the Sukkah. So therefore, we just give a categorical statement, it's pasul. Because I'm worried, says Tosfos, if I'll say Yima'et, so then people will say, I actually learned this at the beginning of my career in the rabbinate. Like someone asks you a shiling, and you say, like, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And you say, I wouldn't do that. And like, okay, so you wouldn't do it, I'll do it. Right? Like, sometimes you have to know to say usar. Right? If you say Yima'et. You say, you know what? Someone asks you a question. And like, they ask you a question about like a pot. And I say, you should kasher it. So they might say, you should kasher it if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. No?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Tosfos is saying. If I would say Yima'et by the sukkah, you would say, oh, you should make it lower. And the innocent bystander would say, oh, you should make it lower, but should is kind of a nice word, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want it. And then there's going to be a serious consequence, Tosfos says. The serious consequence is, oh, someone's not going to make it lower, and you're going to end up not being in the sukkah. By mavui, the consequence is not as great. In the worst case scenario, it's a din d'rabbanan. So we say you should make it lower, right? If the consequences are high, it's a din d'oraisa, so you have to say usser, right?
Puzzle.
Boom, end. Categorical statement. If I'm not talking about Dinei Daraisa, I could be nicer. That is the way Tosfos learns. Now, according to Rashi, which expression is preferred? If I'd be the author of my own Mishnah, is it preferred to use an expression pasul or to use an expression of yima'et, an expression of takana? According to Rashi, which expression is preferred? And according to Tosfos, which expression is preferred?
So the pasul for Rashi and the yima'et for Tosfos.
According to Rashi, pasul is a better expression, right?
Why is it better?
It's better because the only reason you don't use pasul is when you can't.
Hmm.
Right? Pasul is, oh, if I knew the halacha beforehand, use pasul, it's great. It's clear, it's unequivocal, it's gewaldic. Best expression ever. Tosfos is, you know, is the male of 2000 and afterwards. Trying to be nicer. So Tosfos is saying that it's better to use an expression of yima'et because Tosfos actually gives us a source from the Gemara in Psachim that you shouldn't be motzi davar megunah mipiv. Don't use harsh language. Speak softly, nicely, yima'et. Right? For Tosfos, the word yima'et is preferred. For Rashi, the word pasul is preferred. Rachel?
So, I have a little bit of difficulty with understanding Rashi. Is it just that, like I don't understand why a concept needs to be introduced beforehand to then apply the word pasul to it? Is that just, like, intrinsic to the word? Or,
I think
like conceptually, that doesn't follow it to me.
Okay, so We could parse your question in a few different ways. Is it the problem with Rashi is like we have many sources in Shas that the word pasul is used about dinim that we're learning for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and everyone jumps up and down, spits water, nickels, and says Rashi, we don't know what you're talking about. So the short answer is we don't know what Rashi's talking about.
Okay.
We don't fully understand why, but I would say conceptually, though, it makes a certain amount of sense. You can't say something. It's almost like the first Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara asks a number of questions, including, like, how can you tell me when you say Shema? You never told me that you have to say Shema. May Mosai Korin Shema. Right? What do you mean? When do you start saying Shema? Right? Tell me. Right? Then you got to start saying Shema. The Gemara says, no. B'shach b'chov kumecha. Of course, you know Chumash. I think Rashi is something along the lines of that first Gemara in Brachos. The problem is there are many contradictory sources. Did
like,
I make it better or worse?
I can still respond. And again, this is like, I didn't open up the Mishnah and Gemara in Erevan, so like maybe my answer would be there if I did. But to me, there are still other ways that you could introduce the concept without I guess putting in a restriction that would like require you to give a softening word for it. Like if you wanted to like introduce a concept, you could just say that, oh, like it needs to be less than 20 amot. You don't need to then say like add any word of like, oh, but if not, then it's possible. Or if not, you need to lower it. Like you can add what you would do. That's
so if you would write the Mishnah, you would write a Mishnah, like, again, by Erevin.
You would put all the facts up front, and then afterwards, which I guess you could say that there's only one fact here, which I think
I mean, that's sort of what the next answer in the Gemara is, that there's only one fact by Mavoi.
Right, so that's
I think the point also is, I'm not an expert on language, I think it would end up being longer. Mishnayos are supposed to be written in as apodictic a way as possible. It's supposed to be short, concise, end. I could not think of a more brief way of teaching the halacha, but okay. Zoe?
What's the rationale then behind the ibay dema, where it says like, but maybe actually?
Yeah. So the ibay is okay. So let's go. So now, according to Rashi, the ibay is ema is completely changing what we knew until now. Right? Until now, we're saying that the word pasul does not make any sense when we're talking about a din d'rabbanan. Right? And the word takana makes sense. Iba Yosema saying, you know what, even on a d'oraisa, you could say a takana. I'll say it like this. I think I misspoke a sentence ago. The Iba Yosema in the Gemara is saying the word pasul still does not make any sense on a din d'rabbanan, but the Iba Yosema for Rashi is probably saying you can use the expression takana even though it's d'oraisa, and maybe it's better to do that because it's a softer expression, like Tosfos writes. In other words, Rashi's premise that using clear, unequivocal statements is preferred, that is challenged and overturned in the second Lashon of the Gemara. Oh. So now, let's just try to summarize the continuation of the Tosfos, and then I'll make one other point. Is it okay if we go 5 minutes over time tonight? You'll be Michael?
The building technically closes at 10, but they didn't come.
Last week, I mean, last time all it meant is just that you had to like push the handle down to get out.
Which means be
careful to take all of your private belongings with you, because you won't be able to get back in and get them afterwards. That's the Eitzah Tova. Okay. Tosfos is bothered by Akash and the continuation of Tosfos. He asks, how come by Ner Chanukah? But we have a third case in Shas, and Ner Chanukah, which is over 20 Amos, is Pasul, like Sukkah and Mavoi. So Tosfos is bothered by the Kasha, how come we use the word Pasul by Ner Chanukah? Why don't we say the Takana of lowering it? Chanukah is, after all, Durabonon. By Durabonon's, the word Pasul might not be Shayach, according to Rashi. Certainly, for Tosfos, it's better to use an expression of takana because it's nicer. So why, by Ner Chanukah, don't we just say lower it? That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos answers, well, we say sukkah. Sukkah has pasul, Chanukah also has pasul. Alternatively, Tosfos says you can't say the word yema'et because if you take the Ner Chanukah down from over 20, it could be that you're not going to be yotze even when you lower it because of a Gemara that says of Litzarko hu da'avlaka. People will think, hey, you lit that Ner Chanukah for your own purposes. When it's up on its own, that's a Ner Chanukah. But if I walk around, we don't think of it because we have street lights. When you walk around holding a candle, people are going to say, oh, that's your candle. You have to see stuff. Litzarko hu da'avlaka. So if you take it down, it could be you're not going to be yotze at all. That's Tosfos. Now, when you think about it, for Tosfos, that the lashon of takana is preferred. So I understand why I have a discussion by Ner Chanukah. I have, on the one hand, an opportunity to use takana. On the other hand, an opportunity to use pasul. I understand why Tosfos answers, oh, I'll say pasul by Ner Chanukah, since sukkah is also mentioned. But for Rashi, this makes no sense. Because according to Rashi, the halacha of pasul is only shayich by dinim d'oraisa. Ner Chanukah is a din d'rabbanan. Right? I should not be able to use the word pasul by Ner Chanukah. And even though sukkah is here, I can't say, oh, agav, since by sukkah I mentioned pasul, by Ner Chanukah I also mentioned pasul. Hello, according to Rashi, pasul makes no sense. Because according to Rashi, pasul is only a relevant term when I'm talking about dinim d'oraisa. Near Chanukah is a din d'rabbanan. So you can't give me Tosfos answers. Oh, since Sukkah says pasul, I also say pasul. For Rashi, that answer makes no sense. Yes.
Say, going back to Rachel's question, so when both things existed before the Mishnayos, right, like the Sukkah existed and the Mavoi existed, so once the Mishnah came into existence, this pre-existent Mavoi that's over 20 Amos needs to be Yuma'id. The Hanukkah menorah didn't even exist, so the Mishnah is not just creating the condition of 20 Amos; it's also creating
the whole halacha. So that makes it worse.
No, that makes it better because when
how could I say Ner Hanukkah is pasul?
Because the Sukkah became pasul when the mitzvah happened, which was at Sinai. The Hanukkah menorah is becoming pasul at the time that the mitzvah was commanded, which was in the Mishnah. So it's actually congruent with the Sukkah.
But again, but that would go against the entire way that Rashi said it. Rashi said that by Mavoi, since I'm learning it for the first time, I can't say Pasol. If this is my introduction to the law, I can't use the word Pasol. So Ner Chanukah, it's my introduction to the law. How can I use the word Pasol?
I'm also saying it's introduction to the concept of Chanukah. You're having both at the same time.
And by Mavoi, I'm also having both at the same
time. No, by Mavoi, you already have D'oraisa that it's okay.
Oh, you're saying that it's in other words, you're saying that Mavoi is overturning a previous halacha, as opposed to Ner Chanukah is creating something new.
Which is how I understood Yuma'id.
I didn't think of it that way. Interesting, maybe. I mean,
This is going to...
No,
go ahead. Separate point. I was going to say, wouldn't Rashi work with Tosfos' second answer, though?
Absolutely. My Tosfos' second answer is great, according to Rashi. But Tosfos' first answer, L'cha'ora, does not work according to Rashi.
Can we just summarize? I apologize because I think everyone else is hopping in.
Right, so let's try to review it again.
Okay.
We noted that Rashi has this idea, which we don't fully understand, but Rashi says it. The idea is that the word pasul is not relevant or not usable. You can't use that term pasul if it's a din d'rabbanan. Pasul is only a term that could be used on the din d'oraisa because the halacha pre-existed. Excellent. Ner Chanukah is not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan. If that's the case, so how could Tosfos say, oh, by Ner Chanukah, I use the word pasul because I also mentioned Sukkah? I understand by Sukkah you can use the word pasul because Sukkah pre-existed. But Chanukah didn't pre-exist. How could you use the word pasul? Mm-hmm. Right, so you were suggesting, I forgot your name, I just...
Tanya.
What?
Tanya.
So what Tanya was suggesting is that maybe Rashi doesn't mean pre-existing versus not pre-existing. Rashi means like overturning or not overturning. That's your suggestion.
The challenge to what I said is that the Gemara in Erevin says, Kamavoy
Kasukah. Right.
So then it... Forget that,
so,
right?
The answer, though, might be as follows. This statement that Tosfos is invoking, that's a statement of the Amoraim. By the time the Amoraim came onto the scene, everyone knew about Chanukah. Chanukah might not be in the Mishnayis in any sort of real way. It's like hinted at, backhanded, whatever. But everyone knew of Chanukah already by the period of Amoraim. So therefore, I could use the word pasul because there's a reference to something that existed previously. Maybe that's the pshat. Okay. Shoshana, how are you?
Just a question. When we say pasul, it seems like from the Chanukah situation, especially the second answer, that means you can't fix
you
it.
You cannot fix it, right.
So is that the assumption also in our Mishnah with Sukkah, that you can't fix it once it's over 20 Amot?
So, no, because you can fix it. You can certainly lower the Sukkah, right? There are two ways to fix it, actually. You can lower the Sukkah or you could build up the floor, right? You can do both, but we don't want to get involved in those details. Like the second answer of our Gemara says, since there's so many rules, we don't want to tell you exactly how to fix everything. It'll be too complicated. It is fixable. Ner Chanukah is unusual that it's not fixable.
Okay. But like, if you had lit as your refresh on the Hochot Ner Chanukah.
Were you in my share for Chanukah? No, you were there for Avodah Zarah, not for Shabbos. Okay,
yeah.
You're forgiven.
That's close. So if you had lit the Ner Chanukah when it was
We need two more minutes.
Right.
Thank you.
And then we're assuming that time has passed for you to light Hanukkah candles, and that's why we're saying you can't fix it. Why can't you blow them out and try again?
No. So again, you could blow it out and try again. That's like lighting it new.
Right.
The question is, can I take this already lit candle and just lower it?
Right.
The lashon of Yimah 8.
Same as if you were sitting in a sukkah and it was too high, you can always just lower it, and then instantaneously you're like sit back down in your chair.
Okay.
Like again, doing it again. Or like if you're still sitting, then it's like, it's the same. You're just like sad.
And Elchanami. But I think what Tosis is getting at is that if I would use the expression Yimah 8 by Ner Chanukah, people might mistakenly just lower it, and then they'll turn out that they're not Yotze at all. That's what Tosis is worried about. Okay. The last point I wanted to mention, I assigned like a Minchas Chinuch on the source sheets. The expression of Taisus at the beginning of Isser Doiraisa is really interesting. No? Taisus basically says, oh, it's by Sukkah, mistakes are high. It's a Doiraisa. So therefore, we don't want to say Bimema'et, because if I will tell you in a nice way, Bimema'et, people might not do that, and then they won't be sitting in the Sukkah. Grand. But Taisus doesn't just say they won't be sitting in the Sukkah, they won't get in the mitzvah. Taisus says they will get an Isser Doiraisa. Huh? It's not an Isser D'Oraisa. It's not doing a mitzvah. So the source I gave you is the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch develops the idea that it's possible that by Sukkah, it's not just a mitzvah that Hashem wants us to eat in the Sukkah. Hashem wants us not to eat outside of the Sukkah. There's an Avera to be outside of the Sukkah. And maybe that's Meduyak in the Tosis with that expression of Isser D'Oraisa. That's already interesting. I think, though, there's an easier way of... We spoke about the first Mishnah in Brachos a minute ago. The first Mishnah in Brachos says, "Laharkik adam min ha'aveira." In order to avoid doing an aveira, you should say Shema before midnight. You have time. Right? In order to avoid doing an aveira, say Shema before midnight. Avoid doing an aveira. "Laharkik adam min ha'aveira." There's no aveira. You won't do a mitzvah. I think on a certain Musar perspective, though, the idea is that the biggest aveira is not doing a mitzvah.
Huh.
It's almost like Rabbeinu Yonah has the beginning of the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah says that of someone who doesn't do the mitzvah tshuva during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that person is Gadol Avono Min So. You're not doing the mitzvah, but it's like you're in prison and someone breaks out and there's like a huge hole that you can just walk through and you decide not to go out, then you really suffer. Lack of doing a mitzvah in some ways is the biggest aveira, and it could be that's what Taisus means. I don't know if you have to go as far as the Minchas Chinuch, where the Minchas Chinuch says that there's a real aveira to eat outside of the sukkah. I think what you could say is, it's not just about the mitzvah of sukkah, but in general, failure to perform a mitzvah itself is an aveira. That's what I would like to suggest. I know it's very frum, but sometimes we have to be frum. Okay, Chevra, thank you for listening.
Thank you.